The other evening I was listening to Billy Graham. I imagine several of you heard his most recent crusade. But he said that he had written a book on angels. And this kind of got me to thinking. I kind of wish I had a standpoint. I'd like to have read what he thought of angels and what they were. But I'm sure in many of our minds we think of several instances where angels have done one thing or another, where it has given us knowledge or has protected the lives of the prophets and so on. I want to read a little bit out of the first chapter of Revelations, beginning with the first verse. And this just tells what one angel done. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things which he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and he that heareth the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. So this shows where the book of Revelations came from. Here Christ sent an angel down. So this is one time that an angel was used to in the case to write this book, that John might have the knowledge. And had this not been done, it would have never happened. And I'm sure that all of us can think back of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah when the angels came in by night or in the evening, and they appeared as just men. Now, I don't know how this angel appeared unto John. I don't know. But in this particular case, in Lot's time, they came in the evening, and apparently they weren't of any different appearance to the average person than any other people that's on the street. But to Lot, he recognized them and bade them come into his house, which they did. And they were sent down for a definite purpose. And I'm sure that in a time of need among the righteous day, that the Lord could send his angels to direct us or to protect us, either one. I want to read a little bit out of Matthew here. And this will tell a little bit of what some particular angels look like. This would be in the 28th chapter, and I'm going to read the first 7 verses, and this is at the time just after Christ was crucified. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, he must have had some strength, didn't he? He was able to roll the stone back. If we read over in the 20th chapter of John, it mentions that there was 2 angels. But here, in this particular account in Matthew, he mentions just this one angel at this time. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. Now, I don't know whether we can imagine what that would look like or not. But apparently they were appeared to be in white raiment and like lightning. It would be quite an experience. And I'm sure that it would be difficult to really explain it unless you stood there and seen it. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Now, they didn't need deferring, did they? But you take the keepers or the guards there, they feared him and fell as though they were dead. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Now, in this particular case, an angel was able to roll these stones back of the sepulcher, and he told the Marys there that what had happened, and told them the things that they should do. He gave them direction and so on. The same as I'm sure today that an angel could do the same thing if it was necessary. But I think that this countenance would be a marvelous thing to witness and to realize what they looked like. Now, not all the time that angels have they appeared in this manner. As they did in Lot's time, they appeared just as men. I want to go down here, or over here a little farther, and read in Acts, in the 12th chapter. Beginning with the 5th verse. This was a time, about the time of Easter in the spring. And this was when Herod had killed James, and he saw that it pleased the Jews, so he had also taken Peter and cast him into prison also. Peter therefore was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And the people in this church, if we would read on over, we would find that they were in a house, and they were praying for Peter. And when Herod would have brought him forth that same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now, he should have been pretty secure, shouldn't he? He was chained with two chains. He was laying between two guards. And there was guards at the door also, which should have made him pretty secure. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and went and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Now, he wasn't real sure what had happened, but he thought it was a vision, and he wasn't even aware that he was really being freed. He thought that it might be like unto a dream, I suppose. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them on its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod. For, and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. And if we would read further on down here, he went to this house. And the people, when they first saw him, they didn't believe it even. But it was true. that an angel of the Lord came under that prison and released him. Now, this would be quite an experience. If you were cast into prison and you knew that one of your brethren had been killed by this king, and he full well planned to do the same thing to you, this would be quite a marvelous thing. But we can rest assured, too, that this isn't going to happen just to the average person. And it's not going to happen unless that the Lord has a purpose in doing it. But if we are righteous, we can expect the Lord to watch over us, protect us, or to give us understanding or direction. Now, he can do this in many ways. He can do it through the Holy Ghost. He can do it through a vision or a dream. Or he can do it as he's done here. He can send an angel and cause these things to come to pass. I want to read a little bit out of Hebrews. In the 13th chapter I want to read verses 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. This is rather a difficult thing to think of at this time. We would be pretty hesitant to allow a complete stranger to come into our house under the circumstances that we have about us today. But I believe that if we are righteous enough for the Lord to send an angel unto us, that he would surely give us discernment on what to do. That we wouldn't entertain a person that wasn't righteous, and we wouldn't turn an angel away. And down a little further in this same chapter, in the 8th verse, and this would give us a pretty sound foundation to believe that this could happen today as the same as it did then. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, I doubt seriously that he's going to change his method of doing things a whole lot. Our times have changed a little bit, but Christ hasn't. I want to read a little out of Alma in the 17th chapter. And the beginning with the 5th verse is on page 334, or 434. And this is Alma telling a little bit of his experience when he was unrighteous and when he was struck down. Beginning there with the 5th verse. Now behold, I say unto you, if I had not been born of God, I should not have seen these things. But God has by the mouth of his holy angel made these things known unto me. Not of any worthiness of myself, for I went about with the sons of Mosiah seeking to destroy the church of God. Now they were quite unrighteous. But behold, God sent his holy angel to stop us by the way. And behold, he spake unto us as if it were a voice of thunder, and the whole earth did tremble beneath our feet, and we fell to the earth, for fear of the Lord came upon us. And I should imagine this would be the greatest fear in the world. But behold, Their voice said unto me, Arise. And I arose and stood up and beheld an angel. And he said unto me, If thou wilt of thyself be destroyed, seek no more to destroy the church of God. And it came to pass that I fell to the earth, and it was for a space of 3 days and 3 nights that I could not open my mouth, neither had I the use of my limbs. And an angel spake more things unto me, which were heard by my brethren, but I did not hear them. For when I heard the words, If thou wilt destroy thyself, seek no more to destroy the church of God, I was struck with such great fear and amazement, lest perhaps I should be destroyed, that I fell to the earth, and I did hear no more. Now here this angel came down there with several purposes in mind. One, he wanted to stop these young men from going about attempting to destroy the church. But another purpose was there too. He wanted to save these young men. But I was racked with eternal torment, for my soul was harrowed up to the greatest degree, and racked with all my sins. Yea, I did remember all my sins and iniquities, for which I was tormented with the pains of hell. And I should imagine that this would be quite a torment, for he knew that as he lay there, he could see all the things that he had done wrong. He knew full well that the Lord could see all of these things, and that all these things were being held against him. Yea, I saw that I had rebelled against my God, and that I had not kept the holy commandments. Yea, and I had murdered many of the children, or rather led them away into destruction. Yea, and in fine, so great had been my iniquities, that even the thoughts of coming into the presence of my God did rack my soul with inexpressible horror. I imagine this was a pretty frightening experience. Thought I, that I could be banished and become extinct, both soul and body, that I might not be brought to stand in the presence of my God and be judged of my deeds. Now here was quite an experience that a young man had come upon him. But we know too that when this experience came upon him, that he had quite a change, didn't he? We know that both him and the sons of Mosiah went out and for all practical purposes spent the rest of their lives preaching the gospel. And many times with great trials and tribulations. Many times they were cast into prison, and their lives were sought several times, but they were protected by the Lord. But here this angel, it doesn't say just what he appeared like or anything, but he came down, and his voice was like thunder, though, and he caused the earth to tremble. So he was pretty powerful, wasn't he? I want to go over here into 2 Nephi. On page 92, in the third chapter and the 32nd verse, and this here was Nephi speaking, and he was a fairly righteous person, but these are his words, and my soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. He worried about his own iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Here it was a person that was righteous, and he was very concerned because of the temptations that was around him, and that overcome him. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness, and he hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded mine enemies, unto causing them to quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and hath given me knowledge by vision in the night time. Now that's a pretty great person to believe in, isn't it? Imagine that he had caused his enemies to quake before him, and he had given him knowledge by vision in the night. And by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice have I sent up on high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. Now a person with this, that had these things happen to him, he was still concerned because of his own sins. But he was righteous enough that the Lord, when he needed it, sent angels down to minister unto him. And upon the wings of his spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains, and mine eyes have beheld great things, yea, even too great for men, that it is forbidden that I should not, it is bidden that I should not write them. Notice there in the 40th verse, his body was carried away upon exceeding high mountains. And I don't imagine this took too long. And again, I'm reminded of something that happened down in Mexico. I don't remember just how long ago it was, and I don't remember just who it happened to. Many of you have heard this story, I should imagine. But these people were walking along the road, and a man came and talked to him, and I believe it was about the restoration. But he talked a few moments, maybe advising them that someone would come down there and tell them of the gospel or something. I forget just the particular details. But anyway, this man was talking to them. And when he left, he went toward a city from them. And he walked, and the people walked up and looked over a raise and looked, and they couldn't see him. He was completely gone. And I don't know the time of day, but apparently that they noted the time of day that it was, and they followed on into the city. And they mentioned something about it in the town, and they said that the moment that he left them, if it had been 10 o'clock, at 10 o'clock he appeared in the city to the people. And this has been in the fairly recent times. But who this person was, I don't know. I don't pretend to know. But they were sure that it was a messenger of God. And he was able to move from one place, apparently like Nephi did here. He was moved to a high mountain. And we know that when Philip attached himself to the chariot, in himself he was able to be moved about. When he was through there, he was instantly removed. This was through the power of the Lord. But these are some of the things that the Lord can cause to happen to the people that seek after him. And I'm sure that what we would call recent times, since the restoration of the gospel, since 1830, there have been many cases where people have been transported from place to place almost instantaneously. And this is by the power of the Lord. I don't know whether an angel done it or whether it's just through the power of the Lord. At any rate, of course, anything that an angel would do would be through the power of the Lord. And I'm reminded of a time when a young man was apparently riding along one side of a lagoon desiring to go to church. And he needed to ride down maybe a couple of 3 miles to a bridge and then ride back to the place where he was and then go on to the church. The road that he had to be on was just merely across a lagoon of maybe a few hundred feet, which was impossible for him to cross. But he thought to himself that if he could but be on the other side of this lagoon or creek or whatever it was, that he could get to church on time, where it might take him 10 or 15, 20 minutes to make the trip down and back. And he said all of a sudden that he noted that he was riding along the road and he was on the other side of the lagoon, and he arrived at church on time. Now, I don't pretend to know what power took him across the lagoon and allowed him to arrive at church on time. Now, some people say this isn't really important, but the man got to church on time. But this is something that the Lord used to show this person of his power and what he could do. The same as when Nephi was taken to high mountains. I don't suppose that he really needed to be transported to those high mountains, but he was. So the Lord can do pretty well what he needs to do and any manner he needs to do it in. I want to read over here in Matthew, in the 26th chapter. Beginning with the 52nd verse. And this again is about the time that Christ was crucified. Then Jesus said unto him, this was unto Peter, put up again thy sword into its place. Now, Peter had just smote off the ear of one of the guards. For they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it may be so, that it must be? Now Christ could have commanded 12 legions of angels if he had desired it. And a legion could run between anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 people. And this is quite a few people. But if you can imagine 12 legions of angels standing about to protect you, it would be almost unbelievable. But we know that there has been times when this has happened too. And I want to turn back here into 2 Kings when this did happen. And in the 6th chapter, I believe it was the king of Syria that came up against the Israelites, and it appeared that their situation was quite hopeless. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early to go forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. He looked out, and here was armies, a great number of army of soldiers compassed this city round about, and they knew that they didn't stand much of a chance. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And I can't imagine anything much more frightening than if we were in a town and we went out and looked around and the whole army, enough to overrun us 2 or 3 times, stood about to attack us. This would be a pretty frightening thing. And I can imagine this young man when he asked, what shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now this wouldn't be really too comforting unless you had an awful lot of faith in this man, or you knew what was happening, would it? And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw and beheld the mountain was filled with horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. Now this would be the angel of the Lord, wouldn't it, round about. And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the will of Elijah. Now this would be quite comforting, though, to this young man once he looked around and seen the angels of the Lord standing there to protect him with him. And I'm sure, again, that if the time was right and it was necessary, that the Lord could protect his people again. Now, he's not going to protect people that aren't righteous. But if there is a group of righteous people about, I'm sure that he will stand or send his angels to protect them. And if we would read on down through here, we find that Elijah took them in, these people into captivity, and instead of destroying them, he took them and fed them and sent them away, and they could see again. But oftentimes we wonder how the Lord could protect us. And this is something surely that would be the greatest protector of anything in the world. Not only do we have the angels around about us, but the Lord struck the enemy with blindness. And they wouldn't be too harmful to you after that. But if we do seek the Lord, if we keep his commandments, I'm not going to say that any of us is going to see an angel. But I do know that he'll bless us and he'll watch over us. But I'm sure that if we're righteous and the Lord has any need to send an angel to care for us or to advise us of something, that he'll do it. But if we haven't kept the commandments, he's not going to do it. And we think of Nephi there, a righteous man, and he was concerned about his sins. And he was a pretty good person. And so I'm sure each one of us has got to consider our own sin and the things that we do that's not pleasing before the Lord, and realize that if we continue in this way, that we can't expect him to help us. But if we do seek him and do the very best we can, when we come up against circumstances completely out of our hand, we do have someone that we can turn to, and he will bless us in one way or the other. I thank you.
Shall we rise?
Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this service, we thank Thee for this time spent before Thee in Thine presence this night. We pray that we might take counsel of the words been brought to our attention and realize that Thou art a great God who can accomplish great and marvelous things for the children of men. Help us that we might have a greater desire to keep Thy commandments and follow Thee, that the love of Thy Son might shine forth in our heart. Be with us as we depart. Watch over and protect us in harm and danger. Help us that we all might follow Thee more closely. In Jesus' name, amen.